Word of God found in the first epistle of John, starting with the first verse and going all the way to chapter 2 and verse 7. I'm going to be covering a little bit today. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare ye unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith I knoweth him, and keepeth his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, that an old commandment which we had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which we have heard from the beginning. I feel very blessed this morning to have this time at Union Church. I appreciate this is the day the Lord hath made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Very fond memories here. I was baptized here not too long ago, and I feel honored to come before the children of God and deliver a message today, and I'm thankful for the time. And when I think about the fellowship between our churches, and I've told folks back at Crossroads, this is my home away from home, my church home away from my church home. And you know, one verse I think of when I think of the folks at Union Church and folks I've been blessed to know and fellowship with in the faith is 3 John 4, and that I have no greater joy than my children walk in the truth. And just the one phrase that sticks out in both 1 John 1:1 and 1 John 2:7 that I have in my head, I've had on my mind for all this week is from the beginning. And we know that God is from the beginning. He's eternal and has no beginning and end, and that the Word of God begins with, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And we know a verse like Proverbs 23 and 8. You don't have to turn there, but it said, hold on. No. The phrase from the beginning, it's in the Bible 49 times. It's in there somewhere. A good one is verse number 10. Remove not the old landmark, and not into the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is mighty, he shall plead their cause with thee. We need not remove the old landmark and what we've heard from the beginning. And we old Baptists are a very stalwart about that, keeping what we've heard from the beginning and what has been true from the beginning and what God has decreed from the beginning. His words are true, and his words are pure from the very beginning. And that which we've heard, we have to believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, and go back to what we've heard from the very start. And it's a good memory aid to go back to the beginning. You may learn a passage of Scripture, or you may learn a story better, or you may learn a song better if you're a singer, if you start from the beginning. Start from the beginning in God's Word is something that's important. Because you got folks that'll cherry pick a verse in here, and later on in First John it says, "Whosoever is born of God sinneth not." Now you can take that verse and say, "Well, if we're born of God, we're not going to sin." But it says right here, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth's not in us. There's a lot of lies here that are listed out. I counted three, but there's actually four right here. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now that's being a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. That's maybe coming to worship and to fellowship, and then going home and Monday through Saturday not living for the Lord. That's lying in our practice. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. There's folks say, "I've never sinned ever since the day I accepted Christ." Now that's just not so. And if we think that we've got it all right and we've got it all together and that our walk is fine, we deceive ourselves if we don't go back to where it began. And we don't go back to the Word of God and continue to walk in the light and learn and study these things and be humble before the throne of God. The next lie is that if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the Word is not in us. There's pride. There's pride in saying we haven't sinned. And we got, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth his commandment, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." If we don't keep his commandments and statutes from that have been taught in Scripture, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. But, some of the baser truths that we learned from the beginning, that Adam fell, and once Adam fell, all of his posterity was dead in sin. And that God, in his benevolent grace and mercy, chose a people and sent Jesus Christ to die for that people. And the effectual grace of God will come into the hearts of his people and quicken them, and that he will never leave them or forsake them. Those are some basic truths. You got people that'll twist that. You might hear a verse or two being said, like this verse that says he died for the whole world. Some folks say, "No, that right there says he died for everybody," but that's not what that says. It says, because that verse is addressed to my little children. We got, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." And I'm thankful that that means all types of men. That there's no distinction between races or genders or walks of life or nationality. Christ has a Spanish people, an Italian people, a French people, just like he has an American people. He's got a black family, just like he's got a white family. He's got a male family and a female family. That's what whole world means there. It's my little children. And that's a lot of people. You got Abraham's seed, as much as the sands of the seashore and the stars in the sky. Now, that's a lot of folks. And then you graft in us Gentiles, us ruffians. That's a whole lot of people. "Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." Now, that's not saying if we don't, we go to hell. That's not saying if his people don't keep his commandments, we go to hell. But we know that we know him. It talks about fellowship. And that's one thing that is lacking today's churches that I feel like we have here in the Little River Association. If we talk about hanging out sometimes, that's a rather modern invention of, I think I can credit that to my generation. I think we invented that, hanging out or shooting the breeze or doing a whole lot of nothing. But we're called to fellowship with one another. You got some churches that don't talk to anybody but themselves. You have some folks that it's just one building and they don't really congregate with anybody and they don't talk with other sister churches, maybe a mile down the road, maybe less. But we're called to fellowship. That's one passage in Scripture. We're called to fellowship with one another. We're called to talk with one another. We're called to build a relationship with one another in Jesus Christ. That song we sang this morning, help us to help each other. If we're not helping each other, then we're going to fall apart. We're going to build a house on the sand or a house on the rock of God. And these things we write unto you that your joy may be full. And we talk about the joy unspeakable and full of glory. And it makes me want to bring out a hymn book and sing hymn 293. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, for the half has not been told. But we can have full joy right here in fellowship with each other, as full as we can get it. We see through a glass darkly. We don't know all the things of the Lord, but we can be full right now. In the kingdom of God. If you're not willing to serve, if you're not willing to fellowship, if you're not willing to help one another, if you're not willing to talk to the youngest or talk to the oldest, then you're going to miss out in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom right now. But whoso keepeth his word, in whom verily is the love of God perfected, hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. And James brings more light to that, in that we need to be doers of the word and not just hearers. That's a very hard saying.
Yes.
We need to be listeners of the word too. That's one thing I struggle with. One thing that's a big struggle is listening, because we've got all this noise in our culture today that we just can't sit and hear the word of God. I loved reading Leviticus 11 with all y'all and just reading from beginning to end, just listening to the little voices in the congregation read the scripture, and to turn off the cell phones and turn off all the noise and pomp and circumstance and the cars driving by. We're not hearing any of that. We're hearing the word of God. To turn off the noise and turn on the word of God is a marvelous thing, because this word is living. You open the word of God and you will find something new every time you read it. But it's nothing new to God. His word doesn't change. But we have a richer understanding of things and a deeper understanding than we may have had previously, with every reading, with every study. We just finished the book of Job in our Bible reading, the YouVersion, the technology. You know, we use technology to read the scripture now, and the understanding that Job got when he encountered the Lord after his trial. And he said, you know, why does God do this to me? You know, if I could talk with him, If I could bring him down, I'd talk some sense into him. He shouldn't be doing this to me. And the Lord said, where were you when I formed all of this? Where were you from the beginning when I formed the stars of the sky? Where can you play with a sea monster like it's a pet? Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook and make him a pet? Can you do all these wonderful things that I do? And then I read, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. And it says in the Gospel of John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have the God that from the beginning, that existed from the beginning, that made the beginning. There's no beginning without him. Came down in flesh as a man, to die for our sins. But we were loved from before the beginning. And I'm sure thankful to God for his salvation and his grace and mercy And his benevolence to a sinner like me. Let's not forget what we know from the beginning. And let us keep walking in what we know from the beginning, whether it's the beginning of our natural life, what we've heard all of our lives, or what we remember from the beginning of our formative years, or from the beginning of our Christian walk, or... No, we can have our own versions of from the beginning. We can say, well, you know, I believe, you know, from what granddad used to say or from what dad used to say, that's not the beginning we ought to go back to. It's from the beginning of the Word of God, cover to cover. And like I say, you got folks that will cherry pick a verse right here and there. You got folks that will say, well, here's a verse and that there means this about God. But to read from the beginning, from left to right, I just can't read one verse. I got to go from verse 1 all the way down, read the entire chapter, read the entire book. So be in remembrance of these things, and I'm thankful for the time and attention and the patience that Union Church has given me this morning. I'm thankful to know all of you and to walk with you and love you in the faith. And praise God for you. And keep praying for me as I press on and walk in newness of light in this world until the day comes where the Lord will return or call me back. I'm thankful. Thank you.